You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. That was not coffee. It was cool, refreshing, clear water.
So are you on a health kick or is it just too hot today?
Well, it's super hot today. It's actually 90 degrees here today. 90.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, and I've been working outside all day, and I'm hot.
Oh, wow.
And I actually like a little cold water when I'm hot. So finally, my body temperature is less than what it is outside. So now I can drink water. It only took till the end of May. I'll be back to coffee next week. That's all the summer we're having.
I really, really miss not having a house where I can do all my outside work winter and in this blazing hot summer.
I know. I actually don't mind it. I kind of like it. It's a good distraction, and you know, it's kind of a hobby almost. My grass looks so good. Oh, man. I saw a video clip the other day of every dad 1 hour after he cuts the grass, and this guy goes out and he looks out the front window, then he goes out and he looks out the back window, then he's got a drink looking out the window. I said, that's me, man. I'm busted. I said, that is me for sure. So that was it. So on that note of drinking water, I have to say that I was chastised, rebuked this week from someone who sent me a text. It says, longtime listener, didn't give their name. And I actually thought it was you. It came from Granny Ma Jerry. And I thought, well, your mom's name is Jerry. I thought it's either your mom, who I don't think is a longtime listener of Tim Talks. And I thought, okay, it's either Dan or Steve, you know. So this is what I got. I'm a longtime listener to Tim Talks. Please stop harassing Pastor Wolven about drinking coffee. His father never drank coffee for many years. He is perfect just the way he is, and tea is cheaper. I thought, okay. So I responded and I said, that man continually harasses me. I cannot leave it alone. I will not leave it alone.
All I can say is, thanks, Mom.
Yeah, that's right.
That was my mom.
Did she really do it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Your mom knows how to text? Wow, way to go, Jerry.
Well, you know, she's got one of these cell phones. There's a flip phone, and when you text, you have to go 111-333-777, you know.
Like, really?
Yeah, and so, but she did get an iPad. And so I knew you had an iPhone. She said, I need to text Al and tell him to leave you alone about drinking coffee. She listens all the time, I'm telling you. She listens all the time on her iPad.
Then let me say, Mrs. Wolven, I apologize. I didn't know it was you. She never answered back. She never said who it was. But I thought, that's got to be.
She said,
that's gotta be her.
I'm not gonna answer, and then you can tell him this week it was me.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, in that case, Mrs. Wolven, I will only harass him off air. I won't do it when I listen to Tim Talks. I'll tell you what I want. I want this. I want you to record your mom doing the opening for Tim Talks.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yes, I'll do that. Yes.
Okay.
That's great.
Mrs. Wolven, get ready. And you can drink tea if you want. Yeah, she can drink whatever she wants.
Well, my mom drinks coffee. My mom loves coffee.
Oh, well, there you go. No wonder I liked her so much.
But I think it's the harassing part that she doesn't care for.
Her little baby boy. Yeah.
Because I am perfect the way that I am.
To her.
My mom says so.
Yeah, that's right. Let me just say that if your mom does the opening, she's going to have to pick up the pace a little bit. We all know that Mrs. Wolven does not move fast in anything she does. She is very slow and deliberate. It'd be like, welcome Tim Talks.
Well, all I can say is I'm very happy that we're reaching our age demographic that we're shooting for.
Man, we're all over the map. Well, your mom's only 69, so.
85.
85. God bless you. That's awesome. Man, so we've got kids. I'll tell you this. Jackie Stensis told my wife, actually, that their boys were doing something the other day, and she said, do you guys want to listen to something on my phone? You want to listen to a video or you want to listen to some music? And her youngest son said, I want to listen to Tim Talks. He's like 7 or 8 years old. Like,
awesome.
I don't know. That's great. So God bless you, Stensis family. And
yeah, we're not Stensis
children.
Not reaching anybody in between the ages of 10 and 80. But
that's right.
All the ones under 10 and over 80, yeah. Man, they're ours. Yeah. They're in our pocket.
I'm not sure, though, that the people in Japan aren't in that age group. Oh, man. So Mike Collin, a few Sundays ago, suggested podcasts to our church members that they could listen to for their edification. And he mentioned, you know, several of the guys we know, but he didn't mention Tim Talks. And I said, what in the world?
The key was edification.
Well, yeah. So he said, I thought you just did it for like people that wanted to be in the ministry. I said, no, we cover all kinds of topics. I said, we have 150,000 downloads. We have people from 8 different countries that are listening. I said, this is a big deal, man. We're in the top 100 in Canada for religious podcasts. So he never did tell people about it, but that's okay. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Gave the guy a job for 25 years, loved on him, but oh, it's okay. No problem. He won't be on our prop. Broadcast
off of the old, on with the new.
That's right. I'm finding a new boy. He's up. Awesome. Well, listen, I was driving the other day and I'm thinking, I was just out in Prince Edward Island here in Canada, home of Anne of Green Gables. And
oh, yes.
Great spot. Oh, my goodness, folks. If you ever get the opportunity to go to Prince Edward Island, I'm telling you, is one of the top 5 most beautiful places in Canada. Just breathtaking. Mm. And many of you would have saw the pictures that I posted on Instagram. But just a very historical, it's where our country was written into Confederation, where all the provinces came together, or most of them anyways, in a legislative building there. Kind of funny story. All the politicians, all the premiers from the provinces showed up for the meeting to sign that legislation, and they couldn't get a hotel room on the island because the circus was in town, and everybody had come to see the circus. So they had to sleep on a boat in the harbor and row in every day to meet to discuss the Confederation of our country. So it's kind of reflective of where we're still at, actually. So, that's our country. But, oh, man, it was great. But there are 4 or 5 churches on the island, smaller works, and we praise the Lord for that. But I got thinking about our churches here in Canada, and I thought, you know what? We're going to have to start thinking of some creative ways to do church, I think, in the days ahead. We've talked about this on the program. We've talked about an aging population of preachers, both here in Canada and the United States. And it would seem, if not there as well, here in Canada, a great shortage of young men to fill the voids that are going to come about. So I thought, how are we going to service those churches, or do we just let them die off? And I thought, we can't just let them die off. There's good people in those churches, and they want to serve the Lord, and they want Amen. To have church together. And in their community, there may not be anything else for them that is like what we have. So what can we do? So I'm going to do this. I'm going to throw some ideas out, and you know, we'll see where this goes. We haven't really discussed it, but if you want to be the devil's advocate, or if you've got some ideas, we'll do that. But here's my first thought of idea. So, you know, I'm going to be 59 this year, and I love to preach, and I'm always going to love to preach. I know it's hard to believe, eh?
Man.
I'm almost 60, man. I got to quit looking in the mirror because I'd never know it unless I looked at myself. But I love to preach, and someday you're going to leave the pastorate, and you're going to still love to preach, and you're going to still want to help people. And I thought, what about this? Could we ever work something out where we could get guys who are retiring from the pastorate to still travel and preach to some of these little churches that don't have a pastor? Could we raise up men in those churches that would do the administration? Somebody has to go to the hospital, they would go visit. If there was some type of emergency, they would handle it. The preacher would come back, you know, every week, every other week, whatever the schedule would be, and he could meet with that man or the men of the church and kind of give direction in some of those things if needs be. I thought of this. I thought of the great preacher G.B. Vick from Temple Baptist in Detroit, who was a phenomenal pastor, phenomenal administrator, but by his own admission, not a super great preacher. And he would only preach, I believe, once a month in the church. He would have guest preachers in three out of the four Sundays of the month. My father-in-law preached there many, many, many times and loved doing it. And the church was, how big was Temple Baptist? Do you have any idea?
It was one point it was 8,000.
Yeah, 8,000. And it worked. And I thought, man, could we do that? Could we start something here in Canada, maybe in parts of the United States where we're going to need preachers, where we could do that? It would take some commitment on the part of the guy that was going to be the circuit rider. You know, hopefully he's got enough income where he could maybe, in the travel, the churches could cover his travel, you know, give him a meal, maybe have a place for him to stay if he needed, those kind of things. What do you think of that idea? Do you think that would work?
Well, it's worked in the past, so there's no reason why it wouldn't work in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see any downfalls of that?
Well, everything's going to have some assets and liabilities to it. You know, one of the awesome things is you're going to be working and training men. I don't think you'd take just one guy. I think you'd probably do some Bible teaching on one or two weeknights every 2 to 3 weeks as you're through in an intensive kind of way. And, man, the Word of God may light a fire under five or six different guys. You know, I mean, how many different people may have been called to preach? Or whenever we think of during the age of a lot of persecution of the church, and, you know, if one man was thrown into jail, the next man picked up the Bible and conducted the services, you know. And sometimes they went 8, 9, 12 people deep because they're filling the prisons and, you know, filling the jails with the next guy who's preaching, and the next guy stands up and, you know, is faithful to the Word. So, there would be some advantages to that. Obviously, it's not optimal, but certainly it's something that you could get by and transition maybe while some man is growing and being trained, and, you know, he can conduct the services when the preacher isn't there, and see if that's something really that the Lord is a sustaining kind of a burden, or just he's a good man, wants to fill in. You know, my wife's grandfather was a lay preacher, and you know, never called to preach, but capable in handling the Word. And then down in the, you know, coal mine areas of West Virginia, I mean, he filled in a lot of places. He never preached a revival or anything, but he filled in a lot of places, a lot of different towns. You know, when the pastor would be gone, or maybe there's a sickness or something. I mean, he preached a lot. He knew the Word. I don't think that he was necessarily somebody would have traveled to go here, you know, because he wasn't necessarily trained in a dynamic speaker, but he knew the Word, and he loved the Lord, and he had a great heart for the Scriptures, and, you know, wow, God used him.
Yeah. I've got a friend out west, Larry Arbo is his name, and Larry pastored a church in British Columbia for a number of years. Did a great job, got the church up to a couple hundred people, and left the church as pastor and started traveling. And he has been out almost every week preaching in churches that either don't have a pastor or, you know, yes. the pastor's struggling and he's gone out to encourage him. Yes. He said, a lot of times I'll leave some money for the pastor to take his wife Amen. Out or, you know, I'll do something for the church. He's in a financial situation where he can do that. He had some other Amen. Ventures on the side and his wife had a great job. And so he was able to do that. And I thought, man, that's awesome. That's kind of Amen. What sparked some of this idea. And I thought, if every province here in Canada could have at least one or two of those types of guys. He's still able to drive. His wife's able to drive. And I thought if somebody got to a place where they weren't old enough to drive anymore but could still preach, maybe didn't feel comfortable driving at night or in bad weather, what if we could find some younger men in the church that would be their driver? And mm-hmm. that would be part of their ministry. They would travel and they could maybe do special music, maybe help take an offering, I don't know, something. But they could be a help to that preacher and be a driver of him, and then that preacher would have that opportunity to maybe train that man mm-hmm. while they're driving and have a mentorship type program. It'd be kind of cool to be able to do that. And then we have some friends that
Elijah and Elisha. Elisha, his great responsibility was he poured water on the hands of Elijah. He was his servant, you know.
Yeah.
Made sure the laundry was done, made sure there yeah. was food. But he was his mm-hmm. servant, and that yeah. was his training for the ministry. And he wound right. up doing, of course, a double portion of the Lord's blessing, right. and the Bible records twice as many miracles that Elisha did than Elijah is recorded.
Right. Well, you think of Paul and Timothy and Barnabas and Luke and
oh, yes.
all of those guys.
Yes.
You know, Demas for a time, all of those guys were yes. training under Paul, and Paul was still overseeing, but they were taking care of the local work as they trained mm-hmm. under him as well. And I have some friends that we were just with, and she was doing a Bible study online for their church. We were actually together in PEI, and Bill and Josie are their name, and super, super good people, love the Lord. Josie had been doing a Bible study, and the lady said, while you're away, would you continue to do that Bible study with us online? Do Amen. A Zoom call. She said, yeah. So she said that a number of ladies have become part of this Bible study that were part of a brethren church. Hmm. And they say they don't have a pastor. They believe in a plurality of elders.
Yes. Yes.
So all the men are supposed to be ready to preach and pray and take the service. And I have to tell you that I've known some of those people over my life, and those people know the word of God, both their men and their ladies, because they're supposed to be ready at any time to be able to give the message or bring, you know, a sermon to the church. And so they're all directed to study and know the word of God. And, you know, obviously their doctrine is a little bit different, but 90% or more of it is, you know, very close to who we are. And so she was telling us, she goes, man, those ladies have really challenged me because they really know the book. And I thought, this may be something that really helps us going forward, where people now feel a responsibility to know the book just in case
Amen.
That preacher can't make it, right?
Amen.
That wouldn't be such a bad thing. That wouldn't be a bad thing. And so a little out of the box, just something going forward. I think that maybe we could start directing, and maybe you're pastoring today and you've got a pastor in your congregation and he's sitting there week after week and he's still got some fire, still got some gas in the tank, and he could go out and be a help. Maybe start looking for opportunities for that. And maybe men that could help him or a family that would say, you know, we'll take him this time and we'll travel with him and his wife. And, you know, just take that opportunity. And the experience of spending time with a veteran man of God. Wow, what a great opportunity. So
Amen.
There it is. That's my first one. And let's see what we can come up with for Wednesday.
You know, I mentioned this before, I think. I can't remember how long ago, but Brother Powell at Wadsworth, in uh-huh. Wadsworth, Ohio, he used to, each summer, he would hold 5 to 7 different revivals in mm-hmm. Churches in Appalachia, you know, West Virginia, Kentucky,
yeah,
Tennessee,
yeah.
small works that could never get a quote-unquote big-name preacher there, you know, maybe,
right.
You know, running 50 or 60 or something like that. They'd never have the funds to do it, and he would go, and actually the church wound up getting so excited about it that the church began to take offerings. And, of course, he would go and he'd hold a revival meeting and he would tell them, no love offering, don't you dare, you're not allowed. Church is going to take care of all my expenses of where I stay and all my meals, unless you got people in your church that want to make a meal or something. But otherwise, this isn't going to cost you anything. And they would print the flyers. They would, you know, have all the materials available. And then pretty soon the church got so excited about it that they started taking offerings. And he would show up at a church with an offering for their church from his church, and sometimes $1,500, $2,500, just to, you know, help whatever whatever the needs would need to be done there. And so he did that for many, many years, and it got to be the point where the church was excited and looking forward to, you know, where are you going next? Where's the next place that you're going? And they'd be praying every day through the meetings. And so, you know, now with the technology, you could sort of give a little video update each day on your church website of saying, this is what happened. Keep praying. Praise God. I mean, that's an awesome thing to see a congregation get behind that. He just had a great burden for that because he grew up in a little small church in West Virginia. And, you know, that it changed his life. And he didn't want to overlook, you know, works that weren't very big.
You know, I actually tried that exact same things. And I had churches write me and say, hey, we'll give you $50 to go somewhere else. Please don't come. Things are going good.
Well, you said you were a little bit incorrect. You said at one point, I may not be pastoring. I think at one point I'm going to be asked to not pastor. So it...
I've been to some churches and they're like, do you think our pastor will ever retire? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Keep hanging on. All right. Listen, let's leave it there and we'll pick it up on Wednesday and see what other ideas we can come up with. Some out of the box kind of future events or programs or whatever. I know politically we've got to do something here in Canada. We've got to have something where we start some kind of lobbyist group for, if nothing else, our churches, just to know what's going on. I got an email today from a pastor out west who said that there's a vote going on in our House of Commons that would drop the federal mandates here in Canada. Still going on, still federally mandated. And by the way, we still have to test to come into the United States if we fly in. We can drive over without testing, but to fly in, we have to test. So that's still going on the state side. And I'm sure once we drop our mandates, that'll probably go away. But I had no idea about that. No idea. And those are things that I think our churches should know about in advance, not the day of the vote, but, you know, several weeks ahead of time so that we can influence our members of parliament. So maybe we'll talk about that. We'll see on Wednesday. So to one of our greatest listeners, one of our favorite listeners, Grandma Ma Jerry, we love you and we thank you. And I love your baby boy. He's awesome. He's perfect in every way. And
wait,
just know.
Wait.
Yeah.
I am not the baby boy. I'm the middle child. So.
You're
giving a bunch of incorrect information unless you're doing that intentionally.
Well, she doesn't really care about, she doesn't care about the other two. She only cares about you. she doesn't have to defend the other two. It's just you. I mean, baby boy as in you're just a small little boy.
Oh, okay. To her. Gotcha. Yeah.
To her. Yeah, I think it's cute how she still carries you into church. That's awesome. And dresses you down. Danny, straighten your tie, Danny. Pull your knickers up, Danny.
Well, when she, you know, spits in her hand and puts my cowlick down on the platform, it's a little bit embarrassing. But
I love how she comes up and she takes her thumb and wipes the stuff off the corner of your mouth when you have peanut butter and jam. I'm dead meat. She'll never speak to me again. I love you, Mrs. Wolven. God bless you. I'm Al Stone. I'm in St. Thomas, Ontario, and moving ahead with the Canadian Gospel Project, getting ready to head to Alberta, where I'm going to meet with several of the pastors out there and encourage them to be a part of this great project as we try to reach every home here in Canada with the gospel.
Hey, amen. This is Dan Wolven, the pastor of North Columbus Baptist Church, and I'm going to tell my mom on you.
I got to go. This is Tim Talks. Have a great day. We'll be back on Wednesday. We look forward to having you with us. Have a great day. Eh? This is Tim Talks.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.